This episode is brought to you by AARP. 10 years from today, Lisa Schneider will trade in her office job to become the leader of a pack of dogs. As the owner of her own dog rescue, that is. A second act made possible by the reskilling courses Lisa's taking now with AARP to help make sure her income lives as long as she does. And she can finally run with the big dogs. And the small dogs, who just think they're big dogs. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
This isn't your average business podcast, and he's not your average host. This is the James Altucher Show. Today on the James Altucher Show.
There are some people who I view as what I call super connectors. If I need to meet, like, hey, do you know anybody at XYZ company? Do you know anyone at Google? Do you know anybody at Forbes? Do you know anybody at, I don't know, the government? These super connectors always know somebody or know somebody who knows somebody, and they're really happy to connect people up. Chris Winfield, Jen Gottlieb, they are total super connectors. They teach how to be super connectors, and there's so much I learned from them about entrepreneurship and how I could be a better entrepreneur. So here they go, Chris Winfield and Jen Gottlieb. Let's talk about you guys. Like, before I even knew the name of your company, I thought to myself, these two are super connectors. First off, I can't even remember how I met both of you. I met both of you before you were together, and Now you're getting married. Congratulations. And I always knew, like, Chris, you would organize dinners, and then both of you would organize these conferences, and I'd go to them. A, everyone was happy. Like, they're all like, oh, I'm so happy since I met Chris and Jen. And then also, everybody was introducing each other. It was all interesting people. They all were doing interesting things. Everybody followed up afterwards. If you saw someone standing in the corner, usually me, you would say, oh, you have to meet so-and-so, you have to meet so-and-so. So, there is a category of people, and I've only met a few people like this, who really are super connectors. Like, they know everybody, and they also know how to meet everybody. So I used to work with a PR firm. I don't know if you know, I'm going to shout out a random person, but Jolie Hunt, she used to run PR for Financial Times, then IBM. Now she has her own company. She's like a major super connector in my life. You guys are super connectors. But more importantly, right now you're being very focused on helping people, whether they're influencers or entrepreneurs, or you could describe other categories, but you're helping them get media, which is incredibly difficult. Like, we're living in this attention-saturated society. So if you want to stand out with a product or a book or an idea, or you want to get, you know, mentioned on TV or in the newspaper, it's impossible. And not only is it hard, but I know for my own self, I have been on TV quite a bit. So I'm going to let you guys talk in a second. This is why I'm so excited to have you on.
I love this.
Like, A, I would say the fact that I've been on TV quite a bit, for better or for worse, has helped me incredibly in my career, because I'm a very shy, introverted person, but on TV, I'm not. And so it's helped me quite a bit. Like, people know me, so that gives me opportunities. And second, it's very hard for me to ask to go on TV, or like when I have a book out, I know every podcaster out there, and many of them are good friends. It's hard for me to call someone and say, hey, I have a new book out. Can you put me on? I never do that. I can't ask people. I was even going to write a book called The Power of Ask, and I'm so bad at it, I decided not to write the book. I had to return the advance money. So,
oh my gosh.
So you guys are great at all these things. So now, fortunately for me, I've been on a lot of media and TV and podcasts and books and everything, but you help people just starting out do this. And I have to say to anyone listening, it's incredibly, incredibly important, and it's incredibly hard to do. You say you could do it within 5 days of meeting someone. what the hell are you talking about?
Jen, you want to start?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, James. I want to just reframe the asking for help thing really quick for you.
Reframe because it. This is like a therapy session.
Yeah. This a little bit, because I'm going to ask you, how do you feel when somebody that you care about asks you for help and you're able to help them? Like, how did you feel like when someone recently, I'm sure someone asked you for help and someone that you love and you were like, oh, I can help you. How does that make you feel?
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, it's, I remember back in 1995, a friend of mine was unemployed and this is the first time I ever had I was in a situation with some power where I was able to help this friend of mine who was about to move out of New York because he was unemployed and losing all his money. And I was able to get him a job and get him a nice deal, a nice salary and everything. And that was the first time I ever did it. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is like this magic feeling inside of me. Like I was able to help someone and I was able to build a career after that around helping people.
It feels so good when you're able to help somebody that you care about. So whenever you're thinking about asking somebody, especially someone that you're close to, for help, just think about how amazing you're going to get to make them feel when they help you. And every time that you don't ask them for help, you're taking away that incredible feeling that you could be giving that person.
I know you say that, but I see how you're reframing it, but I always, when you ask up, I always feel like everyone's like, oh my God, another person asking me for help. Because here's the thing, I get emails all day long. Hey, you know, Mr. Altucher, can you X, Y, Z? And then I don't really like it as much, like when it's just, you know, generic. Because I do a lot to help people anyway. Just I give away almost all my stuff for free, like my writing and podcasting. And so I don't sometimes like when people ask me.
Here's the thing. So because they have no relationship with you, there's no relationship capital or anything. So one of the things that we always teach people is that if you're going to ask somebody for something, or let's say you're pitching to get in the media or whatever, build some sort of relationship, figure out what you can do to help that person. And as you know, because you've met and you're friends with, you know, some of the most richest, most successful, most famous people in the world, every single person, no matter who it is, needs help with something. Like there's not one person alive. The Rock needs help with something. You know, there's like, it doesn't matter. Like, and it's your job, like, you know, whoever the other person is, to figure out what it is. How can I be the one to help that person? And it changes as the higher you go up. But I think that's the big difference. So like somebody who's just cold pitching you and saying like, hey, can you help me with this? Or can you be my mentor? Because you wrote about mentoring in like your books. And like, so I'm sure you get so many people asking that, but they haven't done anything for you. You know, they haven't put in that time to, you know, figure out how can I help James? So that's the difference. Like what Jen's saying is like, if it's somebody that you're helping, that you already have a relationship with, that you love, that you care about, or, you know, maybe even just like, and then you do something to help them, like you feel great. So that's the way that we're always thinking about it. We're never thinking of it like from a real like transactional standpoint where it's like, all right, well, I'm going to ask this person and every single person I'm going to ask is going to help me, because no, that's not how the world works. Most people, as you know, like you've written about like the power of rejection and, you know, all these things, like most people are going to say no, and that's okay.
You're 100% right. Like one time when I was, this is like in 2002, I was totally broke. I was really depressed and down and out. And I did just that. I wrote to everybody saying, hey, can I just get 5 minutes of your time, buy you a cup of coffee? Zero people responded. Like, and I've said this on the podcast before, it's not like Warren Buffett is going to say, hey, he's not going to say to his secretary, Gladys, drop everything. James Altucher wants me to buy a cup of coffee. He wants to buy me a cup of coffee. Like, he doesn't care. So I started writing this 10 ideas a day, and I started coming up with ideas for everyone and then just giving them for free and not asking to get together, just saying, hey, you could have these ideas for free. And then I got responses.
Yeah, exactly. And I for me, when I was at one of my lowest points, when I'd lost everything and I wanted to start doing this thing where I'd meet with somebody every single day. So what I did was a little bit different. I just figured out who could refer me to the person. So who could introduce me to them. So, and I made this like list and I would say, all right, this person has these connections that I know. How can I get them to intro me? So, and as a result of that, I met with like the guy who owned the New York Times, you know, the guy who owned
Describe that story. Like, so Sulzberger or
yeah, Arthur. Was, yeah, I remember. Yeah. He's an Upper West Side guy, or he was. So here's the interesting thing. I grew up in a household that my parents were both school psychologists. I was the first person in my family to not work in a school and to actually just like get a job outside of school because I was a terrible student. And I always got in trouble. So I didn't come from like an entrepreneurial or well-connected family. But here's the thing. I remembered that my father had volunteered at Mohonk, which is a place in New Paltz. You might know it. And Arthur happened to be on the board of Mohonk. So my father had a bit of a relationship with him through that. So I, as I was doing my list, I remembered all these different things. I'm writing them all out. And boom, my father was able to connect me to Arthur. And at a time when...
Did he feel bad about asking Arthur?
No. Because okay. We had a good relationship, right?
Okay.
So, and you know, I think it's also like when you're introing somebody or, you know, asking on behalf of somebody else, it's even easier because it's not like about yourself. So, and like, I just kept going through and then I would get like a intro from that person. So for example, Arthur then connected me to the VP of marketing for the Times. And, you know, then the VP of marketing connected me to the events person from the Times. And, you know, all I was doing was showing up, trying to figure out what I could do to help the people because I had nothing to offer.
So before you met Arthur or even as part of the ask, perhaps, was there something you were offering? Like what was the idea you had for Arthur that he couldn't get anywhere else?
Yeah. So the idea for him was just simply that it was more around like a Think and Grow Rich in terms of like when Napoleon Hill met with Carnegie and, you know, more around being able to extract like some wisdom from him, like really. And, you know, and for whatever reason, at that point, he was open to that. And he came and like he actually taught me a lesson about humility. So this was a guy like, you know, I'm going to meet him in Times Square. Like it's literally, I'm like, this is your square. You know, it's named after New York Times. And he came out. I just lost all my money and this business had completely imploded. And he came, met me at the elevator, did not even have like a, you know, did not even have like a somebody else from his staff or anything, like met me at the elevator, was so gracious with his time, walked me around to the different things. Like that, you know, that was one of those lessons for me about like, oh, wow, like you can be this successful and still be super humble. And, you know, and that literally like changed my life, just that meeting. I don't remember exactly what we talked about, but I will never forget him coming out to meet me on the 13th floor and saying, hey, I'm Arthur.
And did it lead to something like?
Yes, it led to the connection with the New York Times and then doing some stuff with them and then getting in with their event space and, you know, other things and then just relationships like even down the line. And, you know, what it also led to was having a great story to talk about with, you know, about humility and, you know, that thing.
See, people underestimate the power of story also. The worst case scenario, and this I need to tell myself, but the worst case scenario in reaching out to somebody in an interesting way is that you have a story out of it.
100%. And even if it's, and a lot of times, as we all know, and like you're the champion of this, is like, if it's a bad story or if it's a story that went like, if he came and like he hated me and like, you know, like was so rude and all this, like that's a great story too. So like I'm going to win either way. So the only way I don't win is if I don't make the ask, if I don't go and meet him. And I, you know, and that's the thing. Like we always feel that way. I remember when Jen and I were at your club, at Stand Up NY, and we were talking to Seinfeld after he had, it was like on a Memorial Day or something. And I was asking him some questions and I was like, do you still keep in touch with Larry David? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, how do you feel like when you're done talking to him? He's like, you know what? I always feel horrible when I'm calling him, but I always feel amazing when I get off the phone. And I was like, that's it for everything. Because any event, like you were talking about the events that we do or, you know, our challenges or anything, like whenever I'm like gonna have to go somewhere, like even if it's my own event, I'm like, oh my God, how can I get out of this? Like, can they is the place gonna just like, you know, like catch on fire or something? And like, but then like when you leave, you almost always feel better. So I don't know. I just went off on a big tangent, but.
No, that's totally true also. So nobody likes to go to anything. It's the, and particularly now where all we built the habit of just staying home. But
exactly.
So what are you telling people who you meet? Like who's the type of person you can get on TV? Can anyone, and I use get on TV, but it's really about like all media, like any media presence. But you I know you're focusing on TV because that's maybe the hardest get.
Yeah, it's maybe the hardest and also the most cachet, you know, in terms of like when my parents see me on TV, they're like, wow, you're doing so great. You're so successful. You know, they might not know anything about what I'm doing, you know, in my life, but they see me on TV or their friends see me on TV and they're like, wow, that's it. And I think that's what happens in the minds of our customers, in the minds of our audience. Jen, you want to talk a little bit about like what we actually do?
Yeah. So anybody really that has a service, a story, or a product that wants to get it out into the masses, or anybody that wants to be considered as the recognized expert, because something really magical happens. I mean, just think about it this way. When you see someone on TV, all of a sudden your perception of that person changes. Like you could see, even with big publications, like a great example is the other day I did an Instagram live about how to connect with people in real life better. Okay, I was like, I'm gonna do this Instagram live. It's gonna be awesome. I'm gonna get all this engagement. I have this great idea. So I do this Instagram live. It does okay. Doesn't get that much engagement. It's not that fabulous. But I believed in the idea and I was like, people need to know how to connect in real life. They need to know how to go to events. They need these tips. I'm going to take this and I'm going to pitch it to Forbes and I'm going to see what happens if it becomes a Forbes article. And through relationships, somebody that I've been building a relationship with and providing value to for a really long time, I'd never asked her for anything before in my life. I decided to make the ask because I was ready because I've been giving and giving and giving and she was so excited to help me. So this Instagram live, same content, turned into a Forbes article. This you could use for TV as well.
That is so important. This is what I call the spoken wheel technique. You have like a core idea and mm-hmm. it doesn't matter whether you first present it in a blog post, like a LinkedIn article, a podcast, an Instagram live, it can go, a book or on TV, it could go in all of them ultimately. Like you always just repackage, repurpose, and this becomes, you know, the wheel has many spokes. So, and also when you went to the Forbes person, it's not like, hey, can I start writing for you? I do this. No, it's like you gave them, you solved a problem for them. They need content all day long, every day. And you gave them, hey, I could turn this around right away for you guys.
Yep. And she was ready for me because I had always been just keeping the relationship going. This was a relationship that I'd had for a couple of years, James, where I never asked her for a thing. And then I was ready. I was like, okay. And she was like, sure. Yes, please. Can I help you? Yes, let's do it. It's a great idea. So here's what happened when this little Instagram live that did nothing turned into a mainstream media piece with the name Forbes on top. Now we're talking about TV too. So you could think of the same thing as like a CNN yeah. segment, right? All of a sudden, everybody came out of the woodwork. Oh my God, you're in Forbes. Congratulations. I got like hundreds of shares from this Forbes article. People talking about it. Then the next week, I got to speak at this mastermind that I'm in, the 100 Million Mastermind with Dan Fleischman and Joel Marion. And I spoke on stage and I put the Forbes article on the screen. And after my speech, everyone was going crazy. Congrats on Forbes. That's amazing. They were all sharing it. So when you get into mainstream media, it could be the exact same content that you've already talked about, but the perception is different. And suddenly I looked different in people's eyes. Suddenly I just was like more famous, more important. And that's just how mainstream media gives you that credibility and makes people like want to talk to you more and want to be near you.
For better or for worse, like who knows if that's a valid reason for people to want to talk to you, but it is that is the truth. And the other thing is Forbes gets a lot of eyeballs to if I'm using the correct technical term. And, you know, that's why people love to spend millions of dollars advertising in Forbes. So if you can get free placing in a place that other people spend millions of dollars advertising, that's worth real money to someone's business, to someone's, you know, career and so on. Like, you know, there was one time, back in the OOs and I've actually all throughout, I've been on CNBC and other networks quite a bit, you know, commenting on financial stuff mostly. But, there was one time I wasn't on for 6 months And I was afraid, oh my gosh, people are going to forget about me. 6 months is like a lifetime. But then, it doesn't even matter if it's been years. Like, people still remember. People still know, oh, you're that guy and blah, blah, blah. So it lasts for a long time, that credibility.
Exactly. And the cool thing is, as well, is one of the things that we teach people is that the power of leverage. So I have stuff that that I still tell stories about from like 2002 when I was on stuff, or 2003. Like, you just frame it around like a story that you want to tell. So it doesn't matter. Like, a lot of times people are like, how I could never talk about that. That happened a month ago. I'm like, a month? I'm talking about things from 18 years ago. Like, still, like, because as long as you're going back to like the power of story and the power of being able to tap into your audience and, you know, be able to make them relate to you more, it's so powerful. And, you know, the way that I found out about all the Get About Media is that when I had one job in my life, and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. And they stopped paying me, and, you know, I had no money, and so I decided to start my own company. And I wasn't doing great. It was a web design and search engine optimization company. And
what year was this?
That was 2002.
Oh, and the absolute worst year for both those categories.
Yeah, exactly. So I was doing hard, and there's like, and as you know, there was like a million other people trying to do the same thing and all that. So I was watching CNBC one day, and I'm like, wow, like, some guy was on. I'm like, I want to be that guy. I want to hire that guy. Like, I want to know that guy. And I'm like, wait, it's just because he's on TV. So I had that realization, you know, the trust, the authority, all that. And I'm like, what if I could do that for myself? And I had no money. I had no connections at that point. And there were so many other people that were doing the exact same thing. So I started figuring out how to get in the media. I got on in the New York Times. It was actually about remote working, which is so weird. Like, it was like a 2002 or 2000, yeah, I think 2002 article about remote working and like how it was just starting to come out. And then like the next year, I got in an article in USA Today. And this was when USA Today was on every hotel, you know, door step and everything. And literally within 6 hours, I got a division of Virgin. They signed on. They found me, and then they wound up signing on as a client. They became my first multi-million dollar client. And I was just hooked. I was like, wow, this is the, and then throughout my career, whatever business it was, that was always the common denominator for me. I always used media as like my unfair advantage to separate myself, to differentiate myself. And then that's what we teach people to do, the same thing, like how anyone can do it. Because listen, I'm as basic as they come. Like, I have no degree. I think I have a bachelor's, but I have no like letters before or after my name. I have, you know, no special skills or anything. And like, I was always able to do it. And that's like the thing that we tell people, like, it doesn't, you know, is if you have a story, if you're, you don't need to have to necessarily hire a fancy PR firm. We have a PR agency, and I still tell people that, you know, you can do it yourself.
So, I mean, in the stories you described, you had some connections to the Times, you know, Jen, you had some connections to Forbes that you've been working on for years. Let's go through like an example. Let's say I approach you and I started a company and I made, I don't know, software that helps nail salons keep track of their customers or whatever. And I'm, I'm already selling it. Every nail salon needs software for, you know, CRM software for their customers and blah, blah, blah. And now I want to get some media. So it's kind of like a weird little business. And I don't have any connections other than nail salon people and software people. What would you tell me? How would you help me?
Let's break it down, Jen.
Yes. Okay. So the first thing you're going to want, there's two steps here. And the first step you want to do is you want to get super, super clear on where you want to be in the media. And you may be like, Jen, I don't even know. This is like a software for nail salons. Like, where are they going to talk about me? What?
Sesame
how does that
Street,
even?
I don't know.
Yeah, like where? But you don't even realize, James, there's so many more opportunities than you even know. There are so many niche publications that we don't even know necessarily right now off the top of our heads exist. And so many different, like, smaller television networks, and even now with the internet, places in media that you could be. So the best way that we tell people to figure out where you want to be is to use FOMO. And I don't mean FOMO like fear of missing out, like when your friends are at a party and you're like, oh my God, I'm FOMOing. I mean that feeling that you have when you see somebody else that maybe is your competitor or does something similar to you, and you see them in the media, or you see them getting a lot of attention, and you feel like, oh my God, that should be me. Why is that not me?
Well, that is really important, because mm-hmm. let's say someone's deciding on which company to use. If one company's been on TV and the other hasn't, that's it. That's the decision.
Yeah. So look, Google them. Go. It's so simple. Go into Google News and Google your competitor and see where in the media they're showing up. You're probably going to find, especially if it's like a software or something like that, different niche publications that you didn't even know existed that they've been featured in. And you're just going to use their beautiful yellow brick road that they painted for you on what journalists are writing about what you talk about, what shows are featuring the topic that you talk about. So you're going to use that FOMO, that jealousy that you feel. Like, we all do it. We all compare ourselves to other people or to our competitors. So you're going to create a list using that FOMO, following other people that do the same thing as you. And then once you have the list, this is the key. So you're gonna be like, all right, Jen, now I have this list. Now what do I do? Do I okay. like cold pitch
Hold
people?
On one second. Let me, yeah. I'm gonna just Google.
Okay, go.
Software for nail salons.
Do it. And Google News.
Yeah, I'll do that.
And then here's the other side while you're doing that. It also, the other part is like, that you can also be in mainstream publications. So mm-hmm. because you have a story. So
New York Times, the New York Times a few months ago, want your nails done? Let a robot do it.
There you go.
And then there's a lot of TechCrunch, Newsweek. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Yeah,
good.
Exactly.
NBC News, CNBC.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead. Sorry.
So that's so cool. Sorry,
so that shows you it's possible. Okay, so now we know it's possible. And now we know there are journalists writing about it. And there are producers that are producing segments about it. Amazing. So that kind of debunks our limiting belief that, like, who would want to know about this?
Yeah. And the cool thing is also, just to jump in, is like you look at each one of those people, either the whoever the writer was, or whoever the, like, if it says the producer for, like, let's say the CNBC segment, like those, all those people are people that you can now pitch as well, because you have just you're going to have a different angle on their story, and you know it's something they already are interested in. All right, keep going,
mm-hmm.
Jen. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. So you got that. So you can cold pitch these people. All right, we all can do that. We can all find an email. We can cold pitch them. But we bring on a lot of producers onto our programs of shows. And the number one question that people ask them is, what's going to make you open up my pitch? What's going to make you open up my email? And they all say the same thing. They're like, listen, I get thousands of emails in my inbox, pitches a week, thousands.
Yeah.
So I'm probably not going to open your email unless I know you or have a relationship with you or know someone that knows you or got an introduction. So we always say that relationships are the key when it comes to getting in the media. So James, we actually have like this tool that I really want to teach you right now, because it's going to rock your world and you're going to be able to use it to get in the media or just to get anything that you want in your life in 20 days using your network.
Okay.
Let me teach it to you.
Bring it on.
Okay.
Let's go.
Yes, it's totally true. Airbnb has changed my life. If anything, they have made my life so much better. Like, I used to live in Airbnbs. I lived in over 100 or 200 different Airbnbs over a 3-year period, and I loved it. I became a really good guest of Airbnbs, and I got to know lots of hosts. So when I initially owned a house, the first thing I thought was, I'm going to turn my house into an Airbnb because I travel a lot. So why leave my house unused when I can make a side income by letting others Airbnb my house or come to stay in my house as guests? And having my own Airbnb or being a host for Airbnb has allowed me to do just that. And I've met other hosts. I've actually spoken at Airbnb's host conference. I think it was in 2017. I met so many just nice hosts. It's a great community. And I love, you know, turning my own home into an Airbnb. Like, I'm traveling to Austin next month. My home's going to be an Airbnb while I'm away, and I'll stay in an Airbnb. I'd rather stay in like a 3-story house Airbnb than in one tiny hotel room in the middle of Austin during South by Southwest. So listen, while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who are just letting their house sit empty, who've never thought about it or didn't realize their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle and is a great way to earn some extra money. So if you have a home, but you're not always at home, then you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX is track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com. I remember last year I was asked to go speak at the Norway Business Summit, and I was so excited because side by side with the Business Summit was the Norway Chess Summit, where I would get to see in person Magnus Carlsen, the best chess player ever, playing chess. But it was 4 plane rides, like, to get to the city that ultimately I would go to. So I really did not want to fly for 14 hours, and they were willing to pay for everything for me. So I at first class. So I didn't want to fly for 14 hours and not be first class. So I had to hurry up and get on the phone immediately to get those first class tickets to a chess tournament in Norway. And listen, this is just like when, you know, you have to know when you want the best of anything, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. And I did not want those seats to fill up. So it's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. I just was talking to a friend this morning where he was trying to decide between some programmers and he waited a little too long and both the programmers he was interviewing took other jobs, like great jobs. So, you know, what's the best way then to hire the best as quickly as possible? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you could try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/James. Just try it and see. You'll find out. So ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify the top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I know this because one time I signed up as an employee, potential employee on ZipRecruiter, and I got nonstop, really, I was, even though obviously I wasn't looking for a job, I love what I do, but I just wanted to see what would happen because they were a sponsor of my podcast. And the most interesting jobs would pop up in my emails like, hey, you're qualified for this or that. And so it's interesting to see. So just go there and try it. Try ZipRecruiter.com/James. Amp up your hiring performance. Now, this is more for if you're hiring, but amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/James. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/James. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
So this is called the top 20 tool. And what we don't realize often is you said to me, you're like, Jen, I don't know anybody. I don't have any connections. But you do. You have so many more connections than you even realize. And everybody listening to also does. They just either are a little too scared to really dig in and think about asking people for things or reaching out to people. Okay, so they put it to the side. Or B, B, they're just not looking hard enough or thinking deep enough. So we have this tool called the Top 20, and it can work for any goal, whether that's to get into the media, get investors for your company, find customers, find a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a husband or a wife. It works. All right. So everyone that's listening and James, you're going to make four columns on a sheet of paper, okay? Long ways columns. In the first column, all the way on the left, on the top, you're going to write people, okay? And you're going to do a list of 20 people that you know in your whole life network. So not just your business network, your life. People you went to high school, college with, your aunts, your uncles, your brothers, your sisters, your cousins, everybody that you know, anyone that could possibly help you with that goal. So for this case, to get you into the media. So maybe they have a connection to someone in the media. Maybe they used to work at the media. Anyone, open your phone, open your Facebook, your Instagram, go deep. Your brain might be like, but Jen, like, I really feel like I don't. I bet you, you know more than you think, especially
and,
you, James.
And can I add to this? You shouldn't, yes. You shouldn't filter that list. You shouldn't say, oh, well, this person doesn't like me, so it's not a connection. Or, oh, I didn't go to this person's birthday party, so I can't really call them now. Like, there should be no filter, because that's all narrative in your head, not in their head.
Yep, exactly. 1,000%. You just write their name down anyway. Don't worry about talking to them yet. This part is not about talking to anybody. It's just you in your room writing some names down. So just no filter.
It reminds me of like, so with your ideas list, you know, your 10 ideas a day, mm-hmm. like how you say, like, write the ideas down, even if you think they're horrible and you're never going to use them, because it's just you're flexing your idea muscle. So here you're flexing your connection muscle and, right. You know, in that way. So,
And yeah. Most people, just like most ideas don't work out, most people won't respond to you, but you only need that first one. So like, yes. Even when I had all the ideas and I was writing to people to and giving them ideas, you know, 3 out of 20 responded that first time, you know, and then the response rate gets better and better. But initially you just need a few responses and most won't respond.
Yep.
You just need one. And when you write down all those names, it really reminds you, oh, wait, I knew more people than I thought I did. So maybe I'm holding myself back in other ways too. So it's a great exercise. And Chris, I love that you said that about the 10 ideas, because when I started doing that, I was like, I have so many more ideas than I realized.
Yeah, the 10 ideas a day thing. And you're right. This is very similar to that. I'm going to, mm-hmm. I have an idea about this, but it's very similar to that. It's that you're flexing that muscle, because most people think, if they're just thinking, they think to themselves, I don't know anybody. But taking the action of writing it down, you will come up with 10, 20, 100, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and here's how we make it even stronger for you. So, yep. All right, so we have one column. You write those 20 people down. All right, go to the next column, Jen.
So the next column over, you're going to rank each person on a scale of 1 to 10. You're going to give them a score. It's going to be on their influence, but not like how many Instagram followers they have, how influential they are. How influential are they in getting you what you want? Scale of 1 to 10. Okay,
so it's just a guess though, right? Like, how do you know?
Just a guess.
It's a guess. Like, if you could rank them, like, so if James, if you were on my list and I wanted to get on your show, I would say,
well, I'm 1 because you're on my show.
You're a 10.
Right.
Yeah, you're a 10. 10. 1 to 10.
10 is the highest, 1 is the lowest. Exactly. Yep. But even before I got on your show, I would say, James is 10. He's my friend. 10. Like, yeah, there we go. So you're going to rank. So maybe it's someone that it's one of those people that you're like, oh man, I haven't spoken to them in years. I don't even think they like me, but they're on the list. That's fine. Maybe they're 1. Or 2, like they have a low score. That's okay. They can be on the list. They just have a lower score. Okay. Yeah. So then we move over to the next column. And in the next column on the top, you're going to write the word help. And you're going to rank that person on a scale of 1 to 10, same person. We're just going across the column there on how likely they are to help you get you what you want. So in this case, it's the media. So let's use this example again. So let's say I really want to get on the James Altucher show. Well, influence. James' show, he's a 10. Help, I would say James and I are pretty good friends. I think that he would put me on the show. So I would say like a 10, maybe a 9 if I was feeling a little insecure, but like a high score. But let's say this is someone on your list that maybe you've barely spoken to them, you don't have a great relationship, you haven't done a lot to help them. You know, it would be one of those situations where they would be annoyed if you asked them. They would be a 1 or a 2 or a 3, right? So we've got those scores. Then you're going to add up the two scores, the influence and the help score, and you're going to get a grand final score for each person in the final column, and you're going to sort the scores in descending order. That means the people with the highest scores are at the top, the people with the lowest scores are at the bottom.
Okay,
now here's what's going to happen next for all you introverts. Don't worry. The people at the top of the list, they're 20s, 19s, 18s, they've got high scores. They're influential. They can get you what you want, and they are likely to help you because you have a good relationship with them. So for those people, you're going to pull up your pants and you're just going to ask them. You're going to ask them for help. You're going to say, James, hi, I really want to be on your show. Like, I've always wanted to. It would make my whole life, like, I could provide a lot of value for your audience. I could talk about how to get on TV in 5 days. You know, do you think we could schedule, me to be on the podcast? Boom, ask. And
another good thing to do around that, like, when you're making that ask is, like, say, like, you can also be like, listen, I'm really scared to ask you this, but being honest, like, I think that that's, like, going back to humility is another big thing. Like, but one of my goals this year is making more uncomfortable asks. And one of my other goals is being on more influential podcasts like yours. So I have this great idea, and then you would list it out. So, like, just saying, like, just like that, it allows you to be, more real. And, like, if you're friends with somebody and you get something like that, you're like, okay, you can identify with that. You're like, yeah, I would feel the same way. I get scared to ask people. It's cool that she has this goal. And yeah, this sounds like a great idea. So that it's like something you can just almost come right out and just ask it. So, yep. But what about the lower people?
Yeah. Okay. So in worst case scenario, they say no, but either way, you flexed your asking muscles. You did something uncomfortable. James, I always still now to this day do Dare of the Days all the time where I do something scary.
10% off the coffee.
Exactly. Exactly. I do that all the time. So that would be my Dare of the Day, to ask somebody from my list if I could get in the media or for my goal, a question about what my goal is. All right. So people lower on the list. These are the people that you haven't helped in a long time. You don't know them that well. They're not that influential. Okay. Instead of asking them for help, you can't do that yet. You have not put in the relationship capital yet to ask these people for help. So when you get to their name on the list, instead of asking them for something, you are going to do one thing to provide value to that person. But here's the thing. You cannot ask them what they need help with, because that's a homework assignment. We all know we don't like it.
Oh my God, I can't believe you said that. I always say, don't write anybody and say,
no.
I love everything you do. I'll help you with whatever you need. What do you need?
How can I help you?
Yeah, because it's like you said, look, they have great intentions and they're good people, but you can't give someone a homework assignment. They're already busy. That's why you're interested in talking to them, because they're busy people. So you can't give them another thing to do.
Like, yeah. I don't know what I need help with. I know. Yeah. I'm like, I have no idea. Let me get back to you when I know. And then I never get back. I'm like, I can't.
Or you ignore it.
Power. Yeah.
Because it's something that you, it's a homework assignment. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So your job is to figure out what that person needs and go do it.
I feel like you took my life from this several year period where I did this, and you've turned it into a process and a methodology. Like, this is how I realized I needed to do things, is to provide enormous, enormous value in order to get even like one response. And it works. So, what's give me an example of, like, so, you know, 'cause you guys work with a lot of people. What's an example of maybe even a hard case where they went through this and they figured out how to help somebody, and then one thing led to another?
Yeah.
So give me a great example.
Chrissy, go ahead.
Yeah. I remember at one of our events, we bring together producers and, all these different people. And there's a producer from Good Morning America there. And this woman was talking to him, an attendee at our event. And she's talking to him, and he, like, just having a regular conversation, because that's what we say, like, have, like, real conversations with people, like, get to know them, like, in a case, like, where it's like a mixer, like, that type of thing. Don't talk about, like, just like, oh my God, what do you need help with? What are you working on? What are you doing this? And as part of the conversation, it came up. He's like, you know what? Like, I'm so stressed right now. I need to find this guest for the end of the week. I need to find a parent with a kid that's graduating college that hasn't, that doesn't have a job yet. And she's like, you're looking at him. Like, she literally, her son was getting ready to graduate. And she wound up being on Good Morning America. And it was a segment with her, her son, Barbara Corcoran, Robert Herzog, and then she then, through, like, really going the extra mile, she was able to then connect with Barbara and Robert after, do a Facebook Live with them, like on their channels. And just as a matter of just like listening and being there, you know, we've had people who've gone through our Be On TV bootcamp, who like just from, I remember this one guy, he had spent about 60 grand with a PR agency the year before. And they had told him they booked zero segments for him. And they told him, you're the reason why, you're going to have to change. And like, they didn't take any accountability, any ownership. They blamed it on him, saying that he, you know, just like the way he was, he's a life coach, absolutely amazing life coach, great guy. And, you know, when he went through our boot camp and the 5-day boot camp that you're talking about before, he wound up like, our thing is like, we're like, be more you, like lean into who you are, unless you're going to change. Like for me, like I'm not going to get my doctorate. I'm not going to do anything. So I lean into not having those degrees. I lean into all that stuff. But for him, and he literally took exactly what we, you know, taught him. And by the weekend, and this was during the protests around George Floyd and everything, he wound up figuring out a way and building a relationship and got on CNN that weekend. And then was so good, because what we teach people as well is like, treat the reporter, the producer, the writer, the editor like they're your best friend. That's how I always did everything. That's how I kept getting booked over and over. Just I would make it so easy for them, make their job so easy. Because if you make their job easy, they're going to remember you. Because especially now, they're so short-staffed and there's a 24/7, 365-day news cycle. It never stops. So if you make their job easy, they're going to want you back. So this guy got brought back. They even had one time where they gave him his own hashtag on CNN, America's Life Coach, like his own hashtag, like how great of that branding. You know, this guy, as a result, went from zero TV appearances to I think he did over 200 in, you know, the last year. And just
he's like a little celebrity now, too. He started like a TV out
on
star.
He started out on this Be On TV
on the boot camp.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So what's the boot camp?
All right, we know that it's perfect for your audience. Jen, you want to break down what it is? And then I want to also just like say what we're going to do with for Jamie people. Surprise you.
1,000%.
I'm happy you're going to do something for the listeners.
This is, well, first, this is our favorite show that there is. Okay, we've been listening to it since the beginning of time. So whatever we can do for your listeners. But the Be On TV Bootcamp is we teach anybody that has a service, a story, or a product, or something that they want to get recognized for, get on TV for, we'll teach you how to get on TV, leverage TV, be better on camera in 5 days or less. So in 5 days, essentially, a lot of our people end up using what Chris just said, using the stuff that we teach them at the beginning of the bootcamp and get on TV before the bootcamp even ends. And many of the people that come to our bootcamp actually have never been on camera before, are very introverted, are very shy, are very scared, and they've never even done a Facebook Live. And what we do in this bootcamp is we don't only teach people how to pitch, how to get their messaging right, how to find the lean-in story, how to do the top 20, how to leverage their relationships, but most importantly, we really help them with a combination of the community of the amazing people that we bring together and also the mindset shift that we help them create in the beginning to be able to really get those limiting beliefs out the door and start to actually, oh my gosh, press go live or record and get on camera for the very first time. And many of the people that come to us that have never done that before in their life, they were on camera for the first time during the Be On TV Bootcamp, and now some of them have their own TV shows, they've written books, they're on Facebook every day, they've been on TV. It's just we lift the veil of that scariness of what it might feel like to be on TV and help them push through that and get more confident.
It's all done virtually. So it's not a in-person thing. It's, you know, we teach it in about an hour a day over 5 days, you know, through Facebook Live and or Zoom. And, you know, so it's really, really easy and convenient for people.
Be in your sweatpants.
Yeah. And I just want to give out because we're going to do something special just for your people. So if they go to beontvbootcamp.com, so beontvbootcamp, exactly like it sounds, /Altucher, then there's going to be something special there waiting for them.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much. And you know, I think it's, I forgot to ask, but you mentioned this. It's very important once you're on TV. Like I remember the very first time I was on a television show in 2004, I was so nervous. I thought I was going to get sick. I was just going to walk out at the last minute and just say, forget it. I'm not going to do this. But, you know, now it's much easier for me. But having that on-camera presence is really important. Like now, you know, that I've done so much public speaking and even comedy and stuff like that, I feel much more comfortable. But what are tips you give for people who are like first time on TV or Facebook Live or whatever?
So one of the things that we teach, I'm going to give your listeners a little sneak peek because this is my favorite thing. And that has actually completely changed my life when it comes to imposter syndrome. So many people get this thing.
I need this right now.
Yeah, James, this is going to blow your mind. You're going to love it. You're going to use it. So this thing called imposter syndrome, right, where we feel like, oh, who am I to do this? Who am I to be speaking on this stage? Or who am I to be on television? Or who am I to talk about this? One day they're all going to figure out that I'm a fraud or I don't really know anything. I get these limiting beliefs on the daily basis. And a lot of other people, I used to be on VH1 for 14 seasons and I interviewed rock stars. And every single one of these rock stars, they were like, it was like Slash and like all the guys, like the biggest rock stars of all time. They all had imposter syndrome too. And I was like, whoa, if you guys feel like imposters and you're nervous, then I guess I'm kind of normal. I guess all humans experience this. But the reason that we experience it is because we spend way too much time comparing our wins and our moments to other people's. And we think that other people are doing so much better than us because we're not taking account for all the great things that we've done because they're too close to us. It's like boring. Like all the things that I've done is, it's not that interesting to me. But if I were to tell somebody else, maybe they would think it's pretty badass. So I created this thing called the Badass List, which we actually do on the first day of the bootcamp. And it has helped so many people to not only, we had one woman that was on the suicide hotline the day before our bootcamp and she was going to kill herself. And she signed up for our bootcamp and she came on and we did the Badass List with her. She created her Badass List. And then she was like, I have something to live for. And she continued on and this woman is thriving.
All right, well, how do I make the Badass List?
Okay, yeah. So this is it. Yeah, I've talked it up a lot. Here we go. So you're going to make a list in your phone, so not on a piece of paper. I want it to be in your notes in your phone so you always have it, of all the moments in your life when you were a total badass. And these could be personal moments, like when your daughter was born, when you spoke in front of thousands of people, maybe someone ran a marathon, maybe when you won a huge chess tournament, when your podcast went live, when you hit a certain amount of listeners, moments in your life where you took a beat and you were like, wow, I'm pretty cool. That was pretty awesome. And you feel that.
Well,
and I want you to
what's
write
interesting
it all down.
That there, and sorry to interrupt. What's interesting there is my first instinct is to say, oh, it's never happened. But then you start listing things. And of course, you listed things particular to me. But you're right. There are these moments that you, it's almost like you have to give little, for people who are like, for someone who was just on the suicide hotline, they might not see that there were any moments, but they need to be just reminded. So it's good to do the reminder.
Exactly. And here's where it really gets crazy because it feels very different now. When you feel like an imposter and you're having that moment where you're like, who am I to be on TV or James before you went on that segment for the first time and you were so nervous, you would take out your Badass List and you would read it out loud, but you read it as if you're reading about somebody else. Maybe someone you're proud of or someone you're jealous of. And pretend it's another person and you read those things and just ask yourself like, is this person a badass? Like, am I impressed with this person? And take a moment to marvel at yourself and be kind of jealous of yourself or be like, whoa, this person's really cool. And then take a beat, take a breath and be like, holy crap, that person's me. And if I could do all those things, what I'm about to do is like absolutely no big deal. I'm totally worthy of doing this.
And do you feel when people go through that process and that exercise, when they then, if there's a before and after, like, do you see a difference? I mean, I'm sure
massive.
You do.
Oh my God.
Massive. So
the woman that Jen's talking about, just for an example, this woman named Brendan, she's come out publicly and talked about this, but she had been in the Army and she had been sexually assaulted in the Army many years ago. She was a Black woman, and this was right during the time around like everything that had happened with George Floyd and all that. And her marriage had just broken down. So all these things, you know, kind of combined, and she literally was about to, as she say, take myself out. because she just felt like she had nothing to live for anymore. And she called the suicide hotline, and the guy, you know, talked to her and said, listen, just hang on for one day and find something to do, you know, find something that interests you. And she wound up getting an email, and the email talked about our Be on TV bootcamp. And it was from somebody she trusted. And she was like, you know what? I don't really want to be on TV, but this is something that I can do at least. And she said she came on, and you know, like that first day, and she was like, you know, like, who are these two people? I hate them. Like, you know, all this, like, they're so happy and shiny. Like, this is not going to work. And literally, she did the badass list that Jen talked about. And she said she, like, she started reading it, and she just started sobbing and remembered all of the things, you know, all the amazing things she had done in her life and all these different things. And literally, it was like almost like an instant transformation. She just like went into motion, and she did like a Facebook Live talking about this. And then here's where it becomes more powerful, though, is because the success ripples. She then, I think the next day, she gets a message from a woman whose son had committed suicide 4 years before. And this woman had been in deep mourning for 4 years, like to the point where she really wasn't feeding her kids, like, you know, just like she wasn't really getting out of bed. She said, thanks to you for this morning, for the first time in 4 years, I woke up, I went downstairs, I cooked my kids breakfast for the first time because you shared your story. And, you know, that's like the thing that we're really like the most passionate about. You know, a lot of people listening might be thinking like, oh, I don't necessarily want to be on TV. You know, there's a lot of people that come that don't, you know, but we are able to help them improve their confidence.
About TV. This is really the power of ask. Like, yeah, this is about how to ask. And TV is just an example. It's like a hard thing to ask for.
Exactly. What we always say is we're a media company that is secretly a personal development company. We just use media as the gateway to that. And, you know, what happens is people want, you know, they get more connected because there's like the people, as you talked about at the beginning, coming to our events or seeing how, like, we bring together good people and we show them the power of gratitude. We show them the power of connection, of, you know, of helping somebody else to feel better, because that's how you always do. And, you know, it just becomes this ripple effect, and it's so unbelievably powerful.
When's your next boot camp? When is it?
So the next one's coming up really, really soon. So you go to beontvbootcamp.com/altucher. And you can sign up. I think it's in like the next week. And beontvbootcamp.com/altucher.
And let me ask you a question. Two questions I have. One is, I've heard you guys both talk a lot about unfair advantage. In fact, I've stolen the phrase from you, and I've also talked a lot about unfair advantage. So I really think this is a very strong concept, which I always bring to people. I talk to people about this all the time. Like, if someone says, oh, I think XYZ stock is a buy, or I think this might be a good business, I always ask them, like, why you? Like, why would you have any edge over the other 7 billion people on this planet on what you're doing here? Or, you know, you want to write a book on this. People have already written a book on it. Like, why, what do you have to offer? And I don't say it in a mean way, but the concept of an unfair advantage, even if it's tiny, is so important. And it's related to this because everybody's unique. As you said, you know, when they make their list of influencers and their badass list and the list of people who can help them, all that is a unique combination. And to some extent is part of their unfair advantage, plus the ways in which they could help others. So define what you mean by unfair advantage.
So for us, where this came from was, I was in this, still am, in a small mastermind with three other guys when they all lived in New York City. Yeah, you definitely do. Todd Herman, who's been on your show.
Todd.
Jonathan Fields, who also has one of the top podcasts.
Jonathan and I are second cousins.
So I did not know that.
Yeah. Second or third, it's somewhere on the family tree. I forget exactly the math.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And you both have huge podcasts, and you both lived like almost like two blocks away from each other when you were in New York City. So, and then Ryan Lee, who runs a amazing sports bar company. So anyway, they, you know, one of the big greatest advantages of being around people that are smart and can see things. They can see things that you can't necessarily see. So one day I came to meet, we would meet like every month, And at that point, I had like a personal development and productivity company because that's what I was really passionate about at the time, even though I wasn't that passionate, but that's what I was just into. And I was like, all right, I'm going to sell stuff around this. And they looked at me and they're like, Chris, why are you not teaching people what you know best? And I was like, wow, what do you mean? You know, I didn't necessarily like hearing that, but they're like, well, anytime we describe you to anyone, we describe you as our unfair advantage. And I was like, what do you mean by that? And they're like, well, if we want to get in the media, we want to find an agent, we want to find a freelance, like we need anything. You're able to take out your phone, text somebody and make it happen in 30 seconds where it would, you know, take us like weeks. And I thought about it, and the unfair advantage was just my network, my relationships, the connections that I had built. And by the way, the reason I say they, I don't remember which one, and they all take credit for it now because it became something big. So it wasn't, they right. all say, oh, I'm the one who said it, but I just make it into that they all had the idea. And you know, so I started to really think about that. And then I started to really think about it with the media, and there's so many entrepreneurs, especially, that I would meet that would just think of the media as like some black box where, you know, I don't know how, like they're like, I don't get the language. I don't know how to get inside it. I don't know how to get behind the rope, whatever it is. And I started doing these events to just show people like how easy it is. It's based on relationships. It's based on just having something unique about your story. It's based on showing up for people. Like that really works. And it's also, it works for like, if you're a good person. It doesn't mean like, you know, there's a lot of bad stuff in that happens in the media, and like, people have all these different, you know, conceptions about it. But like we're just looking to get good stuff into the media. We're looking to get good people with good stories that are doing good. And the thing that we always say to people is that you have a responsibility. So you have this makes it so much easier for them to understand. Like you have a responsibility to get your story in front of people, to get your product, your service in front of people. Because if you don't, somebody else is going to buy it from somebody who doesn't care as much as you do, who's not as good as you, and who's not going to be able to get them the results that you can, just because you think that self-promotion is gross, you know, like that whole thing. So that's like where the whole idea around unfair advantage for us came from, was just like thinking about unfair advantage being our relationships and our unique story. The other thing that we always say is your message, your message. And, you know, you are somebody that is so great with this, is sharing the messy parts of your life. You're somebody, as you know, and I've told you this multiple times, that has inspired me. Your book literally changed my life. And side note, the way I found you, if it wasn't for media, I would never have found you, because I found you from a random TechCrunch article. I don't even know how many years, 7 or 8 years ago, you wrote like 100 things of something. And I was like, who is this guy? This is amazing. Like I'd saved the article. I went and this is how media works. This is exactly how it works. It's not direct. Like you wouldn't know this unless I told you, but I Googled you. I found Choose Yourself. I read Choose Yourself. It was the book literally changed my life. I don't say, I've told you this privately. And then I just started reading every single thing by you. And it led me to another book that wound up changing my life, which was The Science of Getting Rich. You mentioned that randomly. And I think
Wallace Waddles.
Yeah. And you were the first one to turn me on that. And like, but like, think about that. How cool is that? Like, that's from, I saw you in the media. You know, then I saw other stuff about you in the media. I became like, I'm going to read everything this guy ever wrote. And I literally did. And you know, the thing around your message, like for each person, like a lot of people think they have to be perfect and they can't share like their backstory or anything like this. No way. We want, you know, like people don't want perfect anymore. I don't know if they ever did.
Yeah, you know, and it'll create controversy sometimes, and some people won't like it that you're sharing that, but those people you don't want to deal with anyway.
Exactly. And that's great, because you want to push away the people that aren't for you just as much as you want to bring the people in that are.
And people always ask us, like, how do you stand out from the crowd? Because a lot of the people that come to our Be On TV Bootcamp or come to our event, they're like, oh my gosh, there's hundreds, not thousands of other life coaches or people that do the exact same thing as me or authors that have written this exact same book. And what we say, like, honestly, your unfair advantage is you. There is only one you. There was only one James Altucher. There's only one Chris Winfield. There's only one Jen. And someone can say the exact same thing that you're saying, but there's going to be people out there that only resonate with the way that you say it. And that is your unfair advantage. And if you stay true to who you are, whether that is imperfect, the more imperfect, the better, right? The more imperfect, the more messy, the more just authentically you can be, the more people are going to really resonate with you or really be, like you said, James, like appalled by you. And that's even better because that's how you attract raving fans.
No, I agree. Like you have to be, you can't be like, first off, there's no such thing as the crowd. Like everybody just buys into a language so they feel like, oh, it's acceptable if I speak in this language. And everybody's unique, like you say. And as long as you don't write in that common language where you're afraid to expose everything and you only say the acceptable things, you'll never have the unfair advantage. You have to be authentic. You have to speak like you. You have to write like you. You have to be comfortable in whatever situation you're in. Like even if you're on TV, it's just a conversation with someone. Doesn't matter that the cameras are there. And exactly, I think right. That's right. That is a strong, like for me, I had an audience already from writing, but once I started really being, you know, this is like 2009, 2010, really exposing like everything going on horrible in my life. My audience went up. That was my unfair advantage. My audience went up huge. Nobody was doing it at that time. And so, So here's another question. This is related to everything we've been talking about, but I'm asking you guys this because I know you'll have an answer for me. I've ghosted a lot of people, particularly over the past year. This is unrelated to beontvbootcamp.com. but it's related too. Like when you make the list of who could help me, I feel like I was a little burnt out this year. And there was probably a several month period where I just did not respond to anybody, like friends, family, whoever. And what's your advice? How do I, like even really, really good friends, and I feel really bad. Like in the beginning of it, I said, look, I might not respond for a while, but then I just stopped responding to everybody. Like really important, successful people that I admired would write to me and I just never would respond. I tell myself I have to respond and I never would. So what should I do to get back in touch with people?
I'm always a huge proponent, especially if it's people that you've had a good relationship with in the past that is a good friend of yours. We all do this, right? And I always, like, my number one tip for when you're networking or you're making a relationship with somebody or you feel awkward is to announce the elephant in the room. Once you've announced the elephant in the room, everybody can exhale because everybody's been in a similar situation. And you never underestimate the other person's insecurities or the other person's fears.
Yeah,
or
the other person upset at me.
No, or they've done the same thing to other people. So I always like to just be completely and totally vulnerable and honest, because when you're vulnerable and honest and you just say it and you announce the elephant, it takes all the pressure off. And like, what's the worst that can happen? So if I were you, I would call my friends, text my friends, email my friends, however you communicate with them and be like, listen, tell them exactly what you just told us. I don't know what happened. I literally didn't talk to anybody. I didn't communicate with anyone. I'm sorry. I want you to know you're important to me. And, you know, if you don't want to talk to me ever again, I totally understand.
I like that last part too, that even if you don't, it's like the initial way I send ideas, you don't have to respond to me.
Yep.
I just want you to know that you're important to me, you know, sorry, whatever, and then conclude.
Yep. Yeah. And then the biggest thing after that is the one thing that I hate is if someone does that to me, I'm like, that's amazing. That's cool. I do that too. No worries. I still love you most of the time. You know, if someone said that to me, honestly, I'm sitting here thinking, I would be like, wow, thank you for saying that. That takes balls to say that and to reach out after that. And I really appreciate you. But here's the thing. After you've said that, you can't disappear again. You got to stay and continue. Yeah. So do you want to do it or not? That's the
All
thing.
Right, we'll see.
Well, you could also say that. Like, I might, you know, like I'm ebbs and there's ebbs and flows in my life. And, you know, the other thing is, though, like just by responding, that a lot of times people, and I am definitely guilty of this, will make up a story about the relationship and, you know, like thinking it's something that they did, or like this has happened with me, mm-hmm. like with a bunch of people that I've reached out to recently. And I'm like, I'm not even writing. Like, did I do something wrong? Like, and so like, they'll think that maybe you're like, all right, you're mad at them or you're too cool for them or you're too successful or whatever it is. Like, it's like, And so like by just responding and just like putting it out there, like that will just change that part, because that's often what we do. Like as human, at least me, like I always will think, oh, it's something this person doesn't like me because it's something that I did. I tell this story at one of our events, but I had this great relationship with this producer. And I was texting her all the time, and you know, we were doing stuff together. And I texted her one day, and I was like, I saw that she got a new job at Time, and I was like, "Congrats on your new gig." And text went through, and I was like, next day, I was like, "Oh, I just want to make sure you saw that. I'm so happy for you." No response. And so in my mind, I'm like, "Oh my God, I hate her now. Like she's like too big, good for me. Like, well, what is Time? I write for Time too. Blah blah blah. All this." And you know, I went to Jen and Angela, who runs our agency, and I was like, "Oh my, I don't think Kate likes me anymore." And blah blah blah. And like, let's not do anything with her. And then they're like, "Why don't you just reach out to her on Facebook? Like maybe she got a new phone when she changed jobs." And I was like, "Oh yeah, that could be it." So I reach out to her on Facebook. She responds to me immediately. She's like, "Oh, thank you so much." I'm like, "Oh yeah, I texted you." She's like, "Oh yeah, I switched phones. I don't have access to that phone anymore." I'm like, "Oh yeah, that makes complete sense." And like my, like the emojis I was using went from like passive aggressive to like happy to like so excited over the course of that one little text interaction. And like, this one mentor of mine told me once, "Your mind's a dangerous neighborhood. Don't go there alone." So that's why I always go to somebody and just ask for something.
That's a great quote. I'm going to steal that one too and not give you any credit for it.
Yeah, steal it.
this is great. I'm going to experiment with this. I'm going to pick one person today. I'm going to send this email. It's exact email as you were wording it, Jen, and see how it works. And then one other thing. I have an idea for you guys. You know how you have those four lists, five lists actually, if you have the badass list as well.
Mm-hmm.
You should, this is just an idea, not you should, but what if everybody, if they were comfortable with this, what if everybody did this and made it public on some system you have, and then it's searchable? So for instance,
cool.
If I, and there's also a list of like hashtags, like who I am, like, oh, hashtag nail salon, hashtag software, whatever. And so then I can say, I can search it. Like, let's say it's in one system, almost like a mini social network, like the, you know, Unfair Advantage social network. And I can search it so that, oh, do I know anybody who knows someone at Salon Weekly? And is also a software person and blah, blah, blah. And then I'd see all these names, you know, pop up, and I'd see the connection, the interconnections of how I can get from this person to that person. I don't know, just something kind of like a product.
I love it.
Because then and then for people who go to Be On TV Bootcamp, they get access to this kind of very private, exclusive network. So like, oh, so-and-so knows, I don't know, some podcaster, it's on their list. And I have an idea for that podcaster, but I don't know anybody who knows them. Now it's all, you're all interconnected. Or I need someone who's at some point given a TED talk, and that's on their badass list. I just want to ask for advice before I pitch them. Boom, on someone's badass list, or three people on who've been to one of your boot camps in the past 5 years, they've been given TED talks. And so now I could ask them who to pitch.
I love it.
I love it. Somewhere that builds software, James. Yeah. I know you know some people. You might be on my top 20 list.
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll talk. So,
yeah.
But okay, so you're doing the beontvbootcamp.com, and for listeners, /altature. I don't know what you'll find there, but it's going to be good if I know Jen and Chris. And it sounds really exciting. So good luck with it. And again, I think your message is super important, because I know I'm the worst introvert. I was terrified every time I had to give a public talk or go on TV or whatever. I've had imposter syndrome every day up until this morning. And but this stuff's really important. This type of thinking has made my career like more important than anything else. It means I can call people and they respond because of all these things that you guys have been talking about. So it's really important. Whether you're an entrepreneur or just need help asking for things, this is important stuff. So thanks for I've known you guys forever. It's the first time you're on the podcast. Thanks so much for coming on. You're always welcome back anytime. You're a friend of the podcast and an FOP. So
FOP, thank you so much.
We love it. Thank you, James.
This was such an honor. We had so much fun and so grateful for you.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.